Hey, it's Mike from Go Cell Phone Repair, and I finally have an internet connection that I can live stream video from, I think, as far as I can tell. So one thing that I've always wanted to do with this podcast was to make it not just audio, but video as well. As hopefully you know, if you've listened for any amount of time, I have a YouTube channel where I make video tutorials about phone repair. I also do a little bit of commentary and some product promos and stuff like that. So one of the challenges with live streaming has always been my internet speed. And I'm sitting here looking at my new connection. I've got 300 megs download and 30 megs upload. So I tried doing this before. That last number previously was about 5 to 8 megs, and it was just garbage. Like, it was terrible. So I didn't want to make anyone suffer through that, or, you know, just kind of go on and look really kind of crappy. But I think in the very near future, I'm saying within the next week or two, I do want to get this on YouTube, because what I would really like to do is allow people to interact. So I'm not just sitting here talking at you, but hopefully we can get some participation from people who are listening to it live. Now, I do have my reservations about live streaming because, to be honest, a lot of people just don't have time or the ability to tune in at a particular time of the day, you know, when they might be doing other things. So, of course, we'll have this audio available that you can listen to later, and you can always play the live stream back at a later date, but I'm trying to come up with like what would be the best time to get on here and do this live so that people can hopefully be available and be able to interact. But anyways, I'm really excited about that. And ironically, I just spent even more money with that ISP that I complained about so much in my video like about a week ago because of the whole net neutrality deal. So if you're not already kind of on board with that, you absolutely should become familiar with legislation that's being proposed that would pretty much take away your freedom when it comes to the internet and being able to download or stream things at equal speeds, no matter where they're coming from. If you haven't already checked that out, there's a podcast and a video on my channel that kind of explains that. So enough of that. Let's talk about some phone stuff. I want to call this "Your Phone Is Not Waterproof," because there's so much confusion in the world about, and, you know, the advertising really doesn't help to educate people as to how this actually works. But a lot of people really have the impression that anything like the Galaxy, I want to say S5 and up, or the iPhone 7 or the iPhone 6S and forward are waterproof. And obviously that is not the case. First of all, there's really no such thing as waterproof, despite what advertising will lead you to believe. You know, they make these things look like you can have them splat, you know, sit it right next to the sink and the water splashes it and it gets dropped in the pool and they pick it up. And, you know, there, I don't think there's any commercials of people dropping their phones in toilets, which is ironic because that's usually how they get wet in the first place. But a long time ago, they had this thing where people were making waterproof watches, and regulatory agencies quickly stepped in and said, you know, if it's waterproof, that means there's no way that water can get inside of it. So they made it legal to call a watch water resistant, but you couldn't really say waterproof because there isn't such thing. I mean, it all has to do with the depth, how many atmospheres of pressure, how long it's left underwater, is the water moving, and so forth. And long story short, no phone is waterproof. And at the same time, we would assume that that means that a water-resistant phone would have a good chance of surviving underwater. But if you work in the repair business for phones and electronics, you know right away that no matter what phone it is, I don't care how water-resistant that item is, ultimately you will see one, two, or several show up in your store. And in fact, it seems like the possibility of an iPhone 7, for example, which is supposed to be highly water resistant, coming in with water damage is going to be a lot higher than you would expect. And here's why. When you tell someone that their phone is water resistant, at a consumer level, I think that their brain automatically translates that to waterproof, which it is absolutely not waterproof, okay? But when you hear water resistant and you get waterproof in your mind, then you think it's okay to dive into the deep end of the pool with your phone to take pictures, to bring it into the shower or bathtub or, you know, through rain or whatever else it is. I don't know how, you know, the hot tub, swimming pool, you name it. So here's the thing, and there's a really interesting story about this that I just briefly want to talk about. And if you haven't already heard, there was a 14-year-old girl, I want to say it was in Texas, who had taken her phone, her iPhone, no, I'm sorry, it was a Galaxy. She had taken her Galaxy S, what is it? I want to find this before I say the wrong thing. I want to say it was an S7 or an S8 Edge. So she had taken her phone into the bathtub and sadly ended up being electrocuted and died from being shocked in the bathtub. Now, when I first read the story, I was really just baffled as to how a phone could cause you to become electrocuted, because a DC current that's self-contained, it just didn't make sense. So, of course, I didn't want to speak about this too early, because, you know, even the charger itself has a DC output, and theoretically, I suppose you could get shocked, but it seemed highly unlikely. It just didn't make sense. You know, if you dropped a hairdryer that's plugged into an AC outlet into a body of water, that would seem to be a more likely cause of, or a better way, I suppose, of causing electrical current to be conducted throughout an entire area that you could be in contact with. But for a DC current to cause that, it just seemed really strange. And my understanding of electricity is fairly basic, but I do have some experience in that area. Anyways, long story short, later on, a few days after this happened, police apparently released her latest tweet, which said something along the lines of, when you have to use an extension cord to plug in your phone while you're in the bathtub, which please take a break from your phone if you're going to be taking a bath, at least for that amount of time. In fact, when you're getting close to any body of water. But in any case, what had actually happened is that she had an extension cord plugged into a non-grounded outlet in the wall. So it wasn't a GFI protected. It was just the two prongs, I'm assuming, that were plugged into the extension cord, which is a bad idea and really terrible when I see that people have actually broken off the ground from their extension cord so that it will fit into an old school outlet that doesn't have any sort of grounding built into it, which is really scary. You should probably get those converted right away, or non-GFI. So in any case, I guess what happened is she was in the bathtub and the phone wasn't the problem. It was actually the power supply that she had plugged in, or the extension cord that had a frayed bit of wire on it that she came into contact with while she was still in the water. And of course, the electricity wants to get to ground, and its path to the water went through her body. And unfortunately, she was shocked by that. So this is a kind of, I don't want to say a freak accident. You know, anytime you take AC electricity near the bathtub, you want to not be touching either of those two things, you know, but unfortunately that did happen. So it was not the phone really that was at fault so much, or I don't think it would, you know, you would really expect that to lead to being shocked to death, but come on, let's not bring our phones in the bathtub. So back to the subject though, I remember when the LifeProof case, and yeah, I'm going to name the brand name because that's what it was. LifeProof cases came out. There was a heavy duty one. I think it was the Defender or something along those lines. It might have even been the Commuter. One of the models that were supposed to be water resistant again. But we had people immediately think, well, this is a waterproof case. I'm going to take it swimming and take pictures underwater. And of course, here was the problem with that. One is probably a lot of user error. If you don't put that case together properly, then it is not going to be water resistant for sure. But on top of that, even if it is water resistant, that means at some point it is possible for moisture to get inside of the case. Well, the big downside to having a water resistant case is that if you purposely expose it to moisture or water and it does get inside the case, at that point it becomes very difficult for that water to escape from the case. So you've kind of trapped it inside. And of course, if it gets inside the phone, that becomes even more difficult. And as we already know, rice is not going to help you. All the rice in the world is not going to remove the moisture or the corrosion once it is inside of your phone. despite what a lot of urban legends would have you believe. So the same rule applies to a phone that is water resistant, even if you don't have a case on it. Once that water gets inside, which it will eventually if you keep it underwater long enough or under the right conditions, or if there's a very small opening somewhere, which is not hard to imagine that happening over time. Once the water gets into the phone, it has no way to really get out. So the normal evaporation process that would take place with a phone, if you just left it sitting out on the countertop, you know, if it got a little bit of moisture inside the charge port or the headset jack or the SIM card tray area or something like that, a lot of times that very small amount of moisture may be able to evaporate on its own. But if you have a water-resistant phone and that moisture gets inside, it's going to be very difficult for it to get back out because it would have to take the exact same path that led it to get inside of the phone, which is highly unlikely, especially if the water starts moving around. So what we see then is that people who purposely expose their phone to water because they have that false sense of security based on the idea that their phone is waterproof, remember, everyone automatically kind of translates that to waterproof from water resistance, and they will take a lot more risks with that phone than someone who kind of already knows that their phone isn't water resistant or waterproof, and electronics and water aren't friends. They don't get along well. They don't play nice together. It's not a good idea to introduce them to each other. So we see the same thing. And I want to say it was just maybe a month or two after the iPhone 7 came out. We had a customer come in with an iPhone 7 Plus who actually had his phone in a life-proof case. So you've got the water-resistant factor of the iPhone 7 Plus. You've got the water-resistant factor of the life-proof case. And he still managed to get water inside his phone. I said, you know, how did this happen? And he was fortunately a really, really nice guy, great customer. He said, oh, you know, I was playing with the kids. We were in the pool. We were messing around with the phone and just assumed it would be okay. And unfortunately, it stopped working. We couldn't figure out why. So first it was the camera, then the whole phone wouldn't power up. And we were actually able to get it working again. Lucky for him, the water only got in at the very top end of the board. There's a set of four capacitors on the backside of the iPhone 7 Plus, and basically one of them was bad and the other one was pretty iffy. So removing those and replacing them actually got the phone working again. We had to replace the camera and he was lucky, but that's not often going to be the case. And of course, it was the information on the phone that he was most concerned with. So lucky for him, we were able to get it working again, but that obviously is not always going to be the case. So I guess my suggestion would be this. Don't assume that your phone is waterproof. And if you must insist on taking it swimming or anywhere else, make sure to back up your data first, because there's always a chance that when you get out of the water, your phone won't be working anymore. I don't know if you've already heard about this. I'm going to change the subject real quick. But apparently HTC has a keyboard built into its flagship Android phone that has advertising on it. And there's this big discussion going on about how HTC is building adware into their keyboard, which sounds pretty lame, really. And then, of course, someone came out and said, well, it wasn't really HTC. It was the company that built the keyboard app, which is TouchPal. And it's possible that the company adds a keyboard without notifying HTC. Well, you know, let's have some accountability here, HTC and everyone else. You know, it's easy to say that, well, you know, it wasn't us that built this thing into the keyboard and so forth, but it is your phone. So I think there should be a certain amount of responsibility on your end to make sure that whoever it is that you're doing business with doesn't build this stuff in. And at the same time, a lot of the comments about this were, you know, does anybody really buy stuff with all the advertising that we get just kind of shoved down our throats at this point? You know, no matter what you open up, there's an ad in it. Every day, Facebook looks more and more like MySpace. And, you know, you want to use any sort of app and there's this constant barrage of advertising. And I can't click the X button fast enough. You know, my challenge is to kind of, and by the way, if you visit any websites, it is unbelievable. Yes, I know you can turn on ad block. I do support advertising on websites that can kind of just keep it reasonable. But when you're just bombarded with this stuff, it's like, okay, enough. And you know, you don't want to prevent someone who's doing a service from making any money. But it's the few out there that just kind of overdo it that make you say, you know, more and more, I just want to start blocking ads across the board because it's just gotten out of control. And my question is, do people, or I suppose a better question, how many people actually buy anything through these ads? Because at this point, I believe that a lot of us have just kind of tuned that out for the most part. You know, you just see advertising, you just don't pay attention, right? Okay, there's another ad, click the X button, let's get to the information that we want. Well, I would imagine there is a certain number of people out there who will end up buying something, otherwise these guys wouldn't be paying anything for ads like that, right? I would hope. So how do we stop that? You know, how do you support a company that you want to profit by allowing them to put ads in your content while at the same time being able to just kind of move about freely through applications and websites and videos and YouTube and so forth without just having it to the point where it's almost impossible to watch? You know, it's unbearable. Like, you can't get to the content that you want to see without sitting through a bunch of garbage. They really need to put some sort of control on a lot of these sources that this is coming from. Getting back to Facebook real quick, one of the things that I've been talking to a lot of people about, and they actually had a news article on this earlier today, and that is Facebook Messenger, which is kind of creepy. I don't know if you're already aware of this, but apparently, according to the terms and conditions of use for the Facebook Messenger app, they're allowed to access the microphone on your cell phone or your tablet or whatever it is that you have it installed on. So what I'm saying is it appears as though, and this kind of makes sense to me from based on things that I've seen, that if you install the Messenger app from Facebook, they can collect any audio at any given time through the microphone on your cell phone. Okay, and it always strikes me as funny as, you know, I'll talk about that and a lot of people say, oh, okay, well, whatever, you know, so it's not really a big deal. But by gathering that information and using it for targeted advertising, I don't know what it is, but something about that just strikes me as really, as making me uncomfortable, I should say. So I'm having a conversation about how uncomfortable my mattress is. A conversation, person to person, we're talking in a room about how uncomfortable my mattress is and that in the near future, I may buy a new bed. I have not emailed anyone about this. I have not posted it on Facebook. I have not browsed on any search engines to try to look for them. It was just a casual conversation. There was no research done on my end. I never typed in any keywords. I never sent anyone a message about it. I never texted anyone a message about it. And yet, a day or two later, I start getting mattress advertisements in my Facebook feed. So this is something that led me to believe that there's got to be a certain amount of truth to this. And just as, you know, just for fun, just to kind of test this out, I had a conversation. I wanted to think of the most unusual thing that I could just to make sure that there was no possibility that I had communicated about this topic with anyone else. So I chose plantar fasciitis, which is a condition that people get and it makes one or both of their feet hurt when they walk, okay? Because I just heard about this and the name was so unusual. I thought, you know what? If I talk about this in front of my phone and I start seeing advertising about it, then that would pretty much confirm my suspicion that there's something in my phone that is recording the audio, even, and I'm not talking about during a phone call, and I'm not talking about doing a voice search or voice to text or anything like that. And by the way, I'll remind you, I'm not talking about this to anyone posting about it, doing Google searches, any of the above, you know, no reference to it. I had a single conversation using that word over and over because I was talking about it with another person. And I kid you not, within the next 2 days, I'm seeing advertisements for plantar fasciitis solutions on Reddit, of all places. So there's absolutely some connection, and I encourage you to test this if you're not convinced or if you think I'm nuts, because it just blew my mind. Have a conversation about, you know, using some keywords that we know someone would want to advertise products for, but that you would never normally use, because, you know, obviously if you're typing something into Google, we know they're collecting your search queries and so forth. So You want to avoid anything that's very common, but if you're interested to see how this works, it will really just freak you out. If you have Facebook Messenger installed, I think that's one of the primary sources for this data collection through audio recording. And at the very least, whether or not you're in favor of it, you know, whatever, that's your choice, but you should at least be aware that this is happening. And when it comes to terms and conditions, this is one of the things that I think is really frustrating to a lot of people, is that no one ever reads that stuff. And even if you do, if you're not an attorney, you really aren't going to make an effort to interpret what all the small print says. So we just kind of breeze through it and click OK and go ahead and start using it. And long story short, I just deleted Facebook Messenger off of my phone. And I think I might get rid of Facebook altogether. It's really bizarre that a lot of businesses are now putting everything on Facebook. You know, I've found restaurants that don't have a website. It's like, if you want to see their menu, you have to go to their Facebook page or find some other third-party website that has collected that information for them. Menuism is one of the ones that I use on occasion because it's easy to find menus for just about anything around me. In any case, something to be aware of. Again, if you're not concerned about it, that's fine, your choice. But I think that everyone should at least know that this is happening. So when you have a conversation in front of your Facebook Messenger capable device, it is most likely looking for keywords in your conversation, if not recording everything. I'm not even sure how it works and at what level it goes to, but I'm fairly convinced it is happening. All right, so enough of the paranoid stuff there. I wouldn't call it conspiracy theory because, you know, if it's happening, it's no longer a theory, right? In any case, this was a good one. There was a 19-year-old Michigan woman who started getting creepy texts after she paid her cell phone bill at a store. Okay, so if you haven't seen this, it's actually kind of funny, and it really just illustrates how desperate news entities are to get a story. So this girl, who was 19, apparently went to a Metro PCS store, according to the article. You can look it up. They detail everything that happened here pretty well. Paid her phone bill, and shortly after she left, started getting text messages from some mystery person on the other end who, it sounds like, was trying to flirt with her, basically. So it looks like a guy at the store made a note of her phone number, and after she left the store, started sending flirtatious text messages. And she said, "Who is this? You know, and what do you want? And did I give you my number?" And I guess the guy said something along the lines that, "Well, we're going to find out, you know, if you're not wanting me to message you, or we'll find out now whether or not you want me to continue messaging you." And she said, "No, I guess." And then later on, contacted the store when she put two and two together. So, cute 19-year-old girl walks into a Metro PCS store to pay her bill. One of the employees thinks she's good looking, I guess, and starts sending her text messages. And this whole thing got an interview with a news person. They went to the store and tried to figure out what the guy was doing. And I don't, you know, this isn't cool, obviously. I don't know if there are any laws when it comes to this, but there should certainly at least be some company policy. You know, you don't contact customers just because, or you know, at least for non-business related matters, just because you have access to their phone number. It seems like there should be some sort of privacy protection for that. But even if not, the company itself should take steps to make sure that isn't happening. I know that there are some pretty serious laws when it comes to getting phone call records. For example, if you work for a wireless carrier, there was a big thing about that during, if you remember way back in the 90s, for the whole OJ thing, when somebody got a hold of his phone call records or his text messaging or something like that. And I think a bunch of people got fired over that, or a couple people did. But in any case, you know, this just blows my mind. Like, first of all, it's pretty lame. Dude, if you see a girl and you're at work and your company doesn't have a policy against it, ask her if you can have, you know, get her phone number, get her permission to send her a text message. And this will go either way, you know, guy, girl, whatever it is, and whoever it is that you're interested in, why not just take a second and say, "Hey, would it be okay if I talk to you outside of work hours?" You know, and she could easily say, "No, that's not okay," or, you know, "Why are you asking?" or whatever. But to just write down someone's number and then start sending them text messages anonymously, yeah, that's pretty creepy, dude. So I don't know, it is maybe this dude just has no game. I don't know what his problem is, but you know, yeah, definitely don't stalk people on their text message, you know, through text messages or on Facebook or anything else. I don't think that leads anywhere productive. swipe right, whatever it is that you want to do these days. So, all right, that's it for this week. I got to get going. Thanks so much for listening. I plan in the very near future to turn this into a streaming format. I will still have the audio here for anyone who can't catch it, but I'm really excited about this. I wanted to do this in a video format from the beginning, and it looks like I finally got a fiber connection at my residence that will allow this to happen. So very excited about making this happen. We are going to bringing some more guests onto here. So if you're in the business, or if you have a product or some information that you think that people would be interested in hearing that relates to phones and or phone repair, hit me up. You can always find me on YouTube or Facebook. Just look for Go Cell Phone Repair. You can tweet me at Fix My Cell Phone, or you can shoot me an email directly. It's Mike at GoCellPhoneRepair.com. Have an awesome one. I'll talk to you later.